This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, last Sunday, our sermon was based on Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26, which appears just immediately before the reading we heard today. And last Sunday, we learned that those who repent of their sins and trust in Christ, they are blessed. Whereas those who deny their sin and see no need for Jesus, well, they're cursed. In fact, we also learned that those of us who trust in Christ, well, we may sometimes be persecuted by those who reject Christ. For instance, there are Christians around the world today who suffer great persecution at the hands of those who reject Christ. And even here in America, we Christians are sometimes ignored or mocked or ridiculed because we trust in Christ and strive to be faithful to His Word. In fact, some Christians in America, in order to be faithful to what they believe, have ended up being sued because they were not politically correct trying to live as a Christian. So, how should we respond to those who hate us because we follow Christ? How should we treat those who declare themselves to be the enemies of Christians? Well, listen to what Jesus says to us Christians at the beginning of today's gospel reading. And before I read this, let's be honest. When you heard these words of Jesus in our gospel reading today, they were hard to hear. How is it possible for us to live like this? Well, listen carefully to the rest of the sermon, and I will do my best to explain how these words of Jesus actually apply to us today. At the beginning of today's gospel reading, we heard these words. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. You know, these are one of those sayings of Jesus that we wish were not in the Bible. You know, what we'd rather hear Jesus say would be this: my children, ask me to kill your enemies and condemn them to hell when they persecute you, and I will gladly do it. Let's face it, when we're really angry at somebody, that's how we would like Jesus to talk. Hey, I will gladly destroy your enemies for you. But Jesus doesn't say that, does he? I mean, why does Jesus ask us to love our enemies? Why does he ask us to pray for those who persecute us? Well, here's the answer. That's what God, Jesus' Father, does. Jesus wants us to be like our Heavenly Father. Remember, at the end of our gospel reading, Jesus says, the Most High is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Meaning, the Father is merciful to us when we're ungrateful and wicked. And then Jesus says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So let's examine today's gospel reading and see how it applies to our lives today as God's forgiven children. Jesus says, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. So as Luther constantly asks in his small catechism, what does this mean? Well, first of all, Jesus does not mean that we can't defend ourselves if someone is trying to injure us. Nor is Jesus saying that we can't call the police if someone's trying to steal our car or take our money. I mean, imagine what our society would be like if people could commit any crime and get away with it. So what we need to understand is that Jesus is here teaching how we Christians should respond if we're being persecuted for our faith in Him. Remember, today's reading is immediately after last Sunday's reading, And in last Sunday's reading, Jesus talked about how we may have to face persecution when we follow him. And so, here we're being taught that if we're being persecuted for our faith in Jesus, we then will have the option of either denying Christ, or if we're faithful to him, then facing the consequences in this evil world. For example, let's say somebody hits you on one side of your face because you are a Christian. I mean, around the world there are people, fellow believers, who are constantly being physically abused simply because they believe in Jesus. So let's say somebody hits you on one side of your face because you're a Christian. And then that same person says to you, "That hurts, doesn't it? Well, I tell you what, reject Christ and I won't hurt you anymore. But if you don't reject Christ, well then I'm going to hit you again." What does Jesus say we should do in that situation? Turn the other cheek. In other words, we should be willing to suffer persecution rather than reject Christ. Around the world today, there are Christians who are being told, "Hey, we won't hurt you if you just reject Jesus. Just reject Jesus, turn your back on him, and we'll leave you alone." What do you do in that situation? Jesus says it would be better to suffer than to reject him. With that understood, allow me to stress again that Jesus is not saying that we can't defend ourselves against random acts of crime. Instead, Jesus is teaching us how we should respond if we're persecuted for our faith in him and given the option of denying him. So, for example, if someone takes my winter coat in the middle of January in North Dakota, and they do that because I'm a Christian, and then that person says to me, "Now, Pastor, I'll take your snow boots too, unless you reject Christ." What should I do? Then I must say, "Well, here, take my boots. I'd rather walk in the snow with my bare feet than reject my Lord and Savior." In the same way, if someone takes something that belongs to you because you are a Christian, and then that person says to you, "You know what? You can have this back if you just deny Christ." What do you do? Well, then you must not deny Christ. You must not demand that they give your possession back to you. Instead, you must rejoice in the fact that your real treasure is Jesus. You must rejoice in the fact that your real treasure is the salvation from sin and death that only Jesus can give you. And now we're ready to look at verses 31 through 35 of today's gospel reading, where Jesus says this: "Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." Now, in this section of our gospel reading, Jesus is teaching us that our love as Christians is different from the kind of love that we so often see in this sinful world. For example, years ago I used the analogy of how we can distinguish between Christian love and worldly love by talking about Perkins pie. How many of you like Perkins pie? Yeah. There's something wrong with you if you don't. So, for a moment here, I'd like to talk about Perkins Pie love. What is Perkins Pie love? Well, I love Perkins Pie. However, when I say that I love Perkins Pie, I do not mean the following. Oh, I want to serve this piece of pie. I want to protect this piece of pie. I want the best for this piece of pie. I would suffer and die for this piece of pie. No, that's not what I mean when I say that I love Perkins Pie. Here's what people mean when they say they love Perkins Pie. They mean, I love how this pie tastes in my mouth. This pie satisfies my cravings. This pie makes me happy. I want to devour this pie. Why do I say all that? Well, sadly, much of what passes for love between people in this world is nothing more than Perkins Pie love. You see, sometimes we treat other people, even our spouses or children or parents, or friends, we treat them as though they were a piece of Perkins pie. We say to ourselves, I love these people because they satisfy me, they make me happy, they meet my needs. But that's not love, my friends. That's selfishness. The all too common, I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back, that kind of love that we find in the world, that is not true love at all. In contrast to this self-centered, what's in it for me kind of Perkins Pie love, Jesus shows us what true love actually is. Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Now, let me clarify. This does not mean that it's wrong for banks to give loans and expect to be paid back. Nor is it wrong to lend money to a friend with the understanding that he or she will pay you back when they're able. In fact, sometimes loving people means holding them accountable and teaching them to be responsible. Sometimes loving people means confronting them about their sin and telling them they need to repent. Remember what we heard in our first reading from Leviticus? Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in his guilt. So then, with that understood, what is Jesus teaching us when he says, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back? Well, simply put, when a person, even our enemy, is in a crisis situation and needs our help, then we should show compassion to them and we should help them without expecting to get anything out of it ourselves. You see, when our motive for helping is, what can I get out of this, then that's not love. You see, true love is focused on the need of the other, and not on what we can get out of it. True love is unconditional. True love serves others even when they don't deserve it. Now, does that kind of love sound familiar? It should. You see, that is exactly how our Heavenly Father loves us. Our Father gives us food and clothing and shelter and countless other blessings, even though we don't deserve them and even though He doesn't get anything out of it. In fact, the Father sent His one and only Son to the cross to suffer damnation for His enemies. And remember, we are those enemies for whom Jesus died. That's right, Jesus suffered and died for you and for me so that we could be forgiven and so that we could live forever as God's dearly loved children. And He did all this for us even though all He got out of it was immense suffering and death. Therefore, Since God showed us such sacrificial and unconditional love, God calls us to express the same kind of love to others, even our enemies. As Paul said in our reading from Romans chapter 12, listen again. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, what in the world does Paul mean when he talks about heaping burning coals on the heads of our enemies? Well, simply put, when we respond to their hatred and violence with love and kindness, they will begin to wonder what in the world is going on. They will begin to feel ashamed, which is the whole point of the image of heaping burning coals on their head. They may say, "Why is this person being kind to me when I've been so horrible to her or him?" And as a result, our enemies may begin to feel ashamed about their sinful behavior. They may even ask us, "Why are you being so kind to me when I've been so horrible to you?" And then we have a chance to tell them about Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who loved His enemies. He loved His enemies enough to die for them. Today's sermon title is, "Be Like Your Father." Jesus is saying this to us Christians who are already forgiven and we're already holy in God's sight because of Jesus and all that He's done for us. So simply put, Jesus is saying to you and me, He's saying, now that I've saved you, you get to imitate your Father. You get to show others what true love really is. My friends, I know that we can never, ever love others as perfectly as our Heavenly Father loves us. I mean, we can't even show perfect love to those who are closest to us, much less our enemies. I'll be the first to admit, when I hear Jesus' words in our gospel reading, I'm convicted, because I fall far short of the kind of love that God wants us to share with others. Like you, I constantly struggle with Perkins Pie love. But the good news is that I'm forgiven. You're forgiven. Because God loved us so much that He was willing to sacrifice Himself in our place of damnation, that we might be set free from the judgment we deserve and live forever as God's dearly loved children. And you know what? As we focus on Jesus and the perfect forgiveness and love that He has for us, our hearts will slowly but surely be transformed. One thing I've learned: the more you focus on Jesus and His unconditional love for you, the harder it is to hate others. The more you focus on Jesus and His unconditional love for you, the more you will begin to realize what a joy it is to love others unconditionally, even if they're your enemies. So as we focus on Jesus and the perfect forgiveness and love He has for us, I promise you, our hearts will slowly but surely be transformed, and we will start acting like our Heavenly Father. So with that in mind, I'd like to close this sermon with these words from Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul writes, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Amen.